What did you want?
Don't you trust me?
As balance dictates.
I thought you'd never pick me.
You wanna play too? That'll be fun.
Ready to set the world on fire.
Let me at him.
Time for a true display of skill.
Prepare to be boarded!
A wise choice.
Let's do this.
Your will, my hat.
Oblivion awaits.
I will be the best.
We will live. They will die.
Embrace the darkness.
Okay. How about a magic trick?
Let me shoot something.
Time to draw.
Hi, guys, and welcome to the first episode of I Do It for the Love of Little Zillion, or what we'll end up calling For the Lulz. I Do It for the Lulz. It's a copyright issue, just to make sure, because For the Lulz is taken, so if it's an abbreviation, then yeah. Anyways.
We'll edit that out, too.
We're going to go ahead and introduce ourselves. I am your host, Rainbow Cupcakes, a player on the North American server.
I'm Laser Steve. I play on the North American server as well.
And we're also joined by
Yubari, which I'm pretty sure they're being very redundant about the North American server.
Hi, we could be from the EU. I'm just saying.
I'm Arrow, and we are on the North American server.
And he can't use words.
And I'm Hahoshek, and I refuse to mention the North American server.
But in refusing to mention it, you mentioned it anyway.
Shh! Onward, host!
For general purposes, we're going to explain, basically what we want to accomplish with this podcast. It was really my idea. I really wanted to make a podcast from the perspective of just people who love to play the game and enjoy playing it. So a lot of things we're going to be talking about on this episode and episodes in the future is just gameplay. You know, how are the changes and new champs and things like that going to affect our gameplay? You know, do I have to play my champ a little differently because of the new champs that are coming out and things like that? So that's really what we wanted to accomplish. So now that we got that out of the way, we're going to talk a little bit about ourselves. Again, I'm Rainbow Cupcakes, and I've been playing video games all my life. I started off playing, you know, the Atari when I was really young, playing like kangaroo boxing, which was like the greatest thing ever. Yeah. It's like two 8-bit kangaroos beating the crap out of each other until one of them dies. I remember the first game that I really loved, though, was Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda, one of the greatest games of all time.
Agreed.
And I play a lot of free-to-play. Like, right now, I have two different types of games that I play. I play, like, the action RPG console games, and then, like, just tons and tons of MMOs. If it's free and it's an MMO, I've probably played it or checked it out. And I got into League of Legends basically 6 months ago, or around there, a little longer ago.
It's been about seven or eight.
Yeah. I'm our five's team's jungler, and I play AP carries. And, I basically can play anything. I love to play all the different types of champs. I basically own them all. But that's mainly what I like to do. I want to be a good jungler, so that's why that's what I'm trying to do.
Laser Steve, I too have played video games for all of my life. Devoted many hours of many days to them. I guess my first game that I loved with a lot was Primal Rage on Sega, because you could be a giant ape and eat people, and that was pretty awesome. So, my role in the team is, I guess...
He doesn't have a role.
Just Olaf.
He doesn't know what he plays.
Just Olaf. Really? I just play the Olaf role. The one that goes in and tears crap up and gets out. I also love to play Teemo, Kennen, Kog'Maw. Anyone that does massive damage and control a lot. So.
Yubari, I've been playing games my entire life. I mean, my parents bought an NES months before I was born. And so I've been playing everything. I mostly play RPGs, and I started playing LoL, ironically, because I was quitting WoW and needed something to play, but wasn't going to take as much time.
Or money.
More money, and I probably spent more money and time playing LoL than I had prior to that in WoW per day.
We've all been there, Mark.
Oh, it's awful.
He's an addict.
Which is why I'm going to start playing Tor, because I see no reason to avoid MMOs again. But for me, I mostly play Assassins or Gragas. Gragas is my big character, and I go mid and shut people out.
I'm Aaron.
Prepare to be bombed!
That's coming. I'm Errol. I've been playing games for as long as I can remember. I can't say my whole life because I was a baby once.
Wow, dude.
I grew up with an NES gun in my hand.
Talk about something new, dude.
The first game I could really remember that I was addicted to was Mario Tennis on the Game Boy Color. I don't know what it was about that game, but I could not stop playing it. That and Sonic. I got into LOL around this time last year. I just got my laptop for Christmas, so it's not exactly this time, just beginning. January, end of December. I've almost a year now. The champs I mainly play are like Trin.
Anything
Trin,
overpowered.
Yeah, if they're
and
overpowered.
And Trin, and Jax, and Trin.
And some
Trin.
Gangplank.
And some Gangplank.
Any character that you hate to play against, he plays.
My role is sort of anything. I can do anything needed. I like to do the Bruiser top, AP mid, or AD range. Not so much a jungler or any of that. But yeah, I've been games my whole life. Trin.
Or somehow turn every AP in the game into an AD.
Oh, right about that. The troll builds. Oh, I love them. From AD Mouth, AD Cho, AD Karthus, AD Annie, AD everything. Just throw some Phantom Dancers and Finny Edge on it. There you go.
Any character in the game can be an AD carry.
An AP Gangplank. Don't try that.
No, AP Gangplank is cool if you want to get like 100 kills with your ult, but I think
it didn't work. I tried.
You can be heal bait.
AD's an orange and run away.
I got 10 health.
Attack speed Soraka. Attack speed Soraka. Get some magic blood razors. Throwing bananas at him like crazy.
Hey, people underestimate the power.
Banana fight.
No! Banana fight. No!
Alright.
Speaking of Soraka, I like to play AD carries, AP carries, and support. As far as games that I really enjoyed growing up, I really liked Mario Kart. That was probably the first game that I was just like, yeah, I think I could do this for a while. So, yeah, and I'm talking about the old school one, the one for the SNES, the one that began them all.
It's old school.
The great one, the greatest game ever, because the rainbow track on there was actually legit.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
that
the rainbow
was so
track.
Hard.
Like, once you unlocked it, you're like, why play on any other track? Like, if you're not good, you die.
Like, and I still have the music stuck in my head just because you said that.
La, 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 la. That's not the right song.
No,
but
la, 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 la.
This was the 80s, so, well, no, early 90s.
I was trying to sing the Lost song and ended up singing the Smurf song. La, 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 la. No.
Yeah, we can edit that.
Yes, and this is the Smurf that joins your team all the time and really does bad.
No, that's not true.
That's me.
He's the one that steals your blue with an arrow ult.
No, okay. Okay, no. So, we were playing a Smurf game. This is totally off topic. We were playing a Smurf game, right? First game, we, like, shut the enemy team down. Like, hardcore mode.
We were,
like
level twos.
Two of us on our team went, like, 30-plus kills and, like, no deaths. Next game, we go in and, like, Laser Steve's like, I'm gonna play Swain, right?
first time Swain.
First, like, 5 minutes of the game, dies 3 times. The other enemy Swain, he feeds him so hard, the other enemy Swain just kills our entire team for the next, like, 40 minutes.
He was a Smurf as well. Who would have thunk him?
All, you know, if you're between level 1 and 5, between the levels of 1 and 5, everyone on there is a Smurf. There aren't any new players, lol. Involved. There aren't any new players. It's not true. It's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's just like the cake.
The better way to get it is find a low-level partner, get the mid-range people. They suck.
Prepare to be martyred!
I went 31-1 with Trin. Oh, I got love for Trin.
I went 32-0 with MF. The only reason it took so long to win the game, it was like a 60-minute game. because the Ash on the other team was a Smurf as well, and she was like 32-1 as well.
34-2 with Ken before.
It's even better when they don't know how to surrender. Yeah. Like, when would this game end? Just end up surrender.
Don't forget the level 30 troll game where we refused to kill them.
We had them there for like an hour and a half.
Oh, when you're inside their base tearing their stuff up, and we're just like, you know what, we're going to run around and clear the jungle seven.
Hey, don't kill their inhibitors.
We'll leave their minions to do that.
On the tank troll games.
Anyways, let's go ahead and...
quit stalling? Yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about our first topic of discussion, and that's going to be the major changes coming to Jax. And the reason we decided to talk about this first is because it's a really interesting topic. Depends on who you are, if you notice, but when the new mastery pages came out a long time ago, the first thing that I noticed was the tank page and the fact that they took in dodge out nimbleness. And I instantly thought, you know, wow, you know, soft nerf to Jax. I mean, it's going to be harder for him. Before the mastery changes, you could get 30% dodge, which is the cap for him. You get 30% dodge without runes. Now, to get 30, you get cap dodge, you have to have runes. So I was like, soft cap to Jax players. I mean, soft nerf to Jax players, unless you have the runes already. But then I kind of saw it coming. They recently announced that they were going to take dodge out of the game, and that leaves open a huge hole, you know, to really what they're going to do with Jax.
I'm excited.
A couple interesting things, though, is with the PBE, which, if you don't know, is the public beta environment, which is basically their test realm for all the new changes to the game. They have introduced the new Ninja Tab Eye, which have the 10% reduction to basic attacks. So we could be looking at something like that with Jax, where instead of having, like, dodge chance for his Counter-Strike, he could just take reduced damage from basic attacks and build up like a Counter-Strike, or he could be completely rework. And for this, I'm actually going to go over to Arrow. For you guys don't know, I mean, me and Laser know this really well. Arrow started the game out level 1 to 20 and didn't know how to play anybody else but Jax. Basically, he played Jax until he figured out that you could actually buy other champions.
And I had a lot of IP.
So not only does he know Jax in and out, but he's also played through a lot of the changes. You know, champs get buffed and nerfed often, make minor changes to some of their abilities, and get reworked. Aaron, what do you think they're going to do?
Well, Jax... it's really tough what they're going to do because dodge is just, like, so key on him. I'm thinking it's going to be, like, his passive on his ult. Every auto attack, every three, you get extra damage. I'm thinking it's going to be, like, something with incoming auto attacks for his Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
Because unless they completely rework him, like, Kayle, they reworked her, but it wasn't a complete rework. Her Q was the same and stuff like that.
But where they just completely redid Sivir, I mean... there's no reason why they wouldn't completely redo Jax.
Yeah, and with Sivir, even then it wasn't a complete rework. It was like a ricochet.
Jax isn't that new of a champ. If they were going to do a rework, now would be the perfect time for them to do
and
that.
I can honestly say Jax is probably the most overpowered champ in the game. You cannot really shut him down.
Besides Kassadin.
Kassadin that's fed. You can't say any Kassadin. I've seen some pretty crappy Kassadins.
Yeah.
But Jax... Jax don't have to be really fed, but he's one of them champs that you can always say, if he's on the other team, you're like, crap, I'm probably going to lose this game. That's one of the first thoughts you think. So maybe reworking him in general completely takes an OP champ out of the game and gives him a more balanced character.
Well,
will it actually take skill?
We'll probably never see Jax actually require skill. But
that's not true.
Hey, don't be hating.
We'll just appreciate
it. Because right now what we're seeing is Jax is a really powerful character, not because he's OP, but... he's a great counter champ to basically anybody. Fair. You know, he's a great solo top because if you put a bruiser up there, you know, an AD bruiser, you know, he's got the auto. He's got the dodge. You know, he's got the dodge and he does so much damage. If you put a mage up there, like a Vladimir, he's got his ult. He has a naturally high magic resist.
That's what
I want to talk about. We know Jax from his lore is going to be... He's basically like the greatest... fighter of all time.
He's the champion.
Yeah, he's the champion. So, do you think that if they do rework him, is he going to stay this massively powerful 80 AP bruiser who's better than everyone else?
I don't know about better than everyone else, because all champs are equal.
No, that's not, that's totally not true.
No, 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 yeah, no, coming no. from the guy that plays Trend.
Hey. But what I really want to think about, and just his ult. His ult, it gives magic just based on his dodge chance. What I want to know really, not really what he's going to do with his Counter-Strike, what they're going to do with his ult.
Yeah.
Because the passive, hopefully it stays. That's one of the best things about Jax. Every three attacks, kind of like TF's counter, but I mean, it's an ult. It's a lot harder. TF, now that fool is overpowered. I don't know what you're saying. He can ult across the map and start beating people in the face. He's ranged, too.
They reduced it.
I know they reduced it, but still.
I mean, they need to
But the big difference between TF versus Jax, though, is TF can teleport in and still get destroyed. Yeah. Jax can jump into a fight and has so much survivability to be able to stay in, do good damage no matter where they go.
And stun their whole team and limit their
DPS. Without dodge.
DPS.
We're thinking about without dodge now. TF will always have his stun card.
Well, yeah, but the stun card is unpredictable because you, number one, have timing because you have to look for the red, blue, or yellow.
We're not level 5 anymore.
Unlike you, I played TF from 1 to 20. So, yeah, the big change is I understand nerfing his teleport range. The problem for him now is that he is only a good gank character, not a good push character. Because
yeah.
He used to be able to jump from bottom to top and push top really, really fast. Which was why they really needed to get rid of him. The problem with Jax, though, that they're probably, what I see them try to do, is turn him into, well, if he's going to do a lot of damage, he's going to have lower resistances. He's not going to be able to dodge as much.
That's the point that I wanted
to
make.
And his
passive. As I was about to say, his passive. You see other champs will build AP off of health, like Vladimir, or both AP off of health and health off of AP, or other champs that will build things off of each other.
Like Ramses' armor.
But Jax is really powerful because he builds health off of things that are incredibly easy to make.
He doesn't need health items.
AD and AP are incredibly easy and really low cost in the game. You can get a lot of AD and a lot of AP for cheap. Exactly.
Windsos, that's a lot of health, a lot of AP, a lot of AD. Then you go on the hashtag.
And then he makes health off of that. So he's naturally tanky, naturally strong, has naturally resistance.
And his build naturally gives him lifesteal.
And his build makes him incredibly, incredibly powerful. So, I mean, you see this tanky, high HP bruiser who does more damage than your entire team. And that's, when I look at it, I truly feel like they're going to try to balance him. They're going to try to make him a more skill-oriented, balanced champ.
I mean, think about it. He jumps in there, just spams his Counter-Strike. Your whole team is right there, just like, getting stopped. It's reducing DPS. He's already got that amount of dodge. It significantly reduces your DPS.
What I think they might do, instead of making him an AP-AD champ, because in his lore, he's an AD champ. He's a fighter. He's a straight-up 1v1 fighter. Yeah. He can 1v1 anybody.
He's a gladiator.
Yeah, he's a gladiator. I mean, AD, I don't see where the AP comes into. I like his empower. He makes himself stronger. But I think they're going to change empower, keep something similar to Counter-Strike, and change his ult up for more of an armor thing instead of magic assist.
Make him less of a mage killer?
He's still going to be a mage killer because I think he's going to keep the leap strike. And
fact that he's a mage killer because there's not many of them.
There's not many. Like Talon, he's probably one of the best mage killers. Cassidy, Talon. But as an AD mage killer, Talon's probably one of the ones that come to mind.
You can't even include Jax in there then because he's a hybrid. If you're building
Jax is counter everything.
If you're building Jax anything other than a hybrid, you're doing it wrong.
That's why I think I'm the only one here with the positive win loss ratio.
and that's the problem with him. I think by removing dodge and everything, they're trying to make it more balanced towards
open up more builds too. Yeah.
Spartan.
I mean, and we saw pre Gunblade nerf, the recommended build for Jax was dodge boots, rage blade, 4 Gunblades, and you couldn't kill him.
Nah, that wasn't that good, actually. Throwing the Void Staff and the Last Whisper, I always did that. The stuff, it was a good build.
That's only if you're going up like a Singed. I mean, against anyone else, just the pure AD is better. I mean, that's...
It's going to be interesting what they're going to do because Counter-Strike is just so big and dodge
It's what makes him.
I hope they completely revamp him, like change every last skill except Leap Strike and Low Leap Strike. That's the funnest thing ever.
I like face jumping people.
Face jumping them?
Jumping on their face.
The thing that I think when it comes to their rework is I'm curious if they're going to be able to keep the play style that people love about him, but yet still keep him a viable character. Because with a lot of characters like Sivir, they changed Sivir because Sivir wasn't being played that much.
And she wasn't fulfilling the role she was built to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like they did with Kayle.
So, my question is, what are they intending for him to do? Yeah. Because that's going to be the big problem. They're wanting to remove him as a juggernaut and move him more into something that has a role.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a juggernaut's a pretty good role.
See, right now, there is a lot of AD counters. So, I see what Nick's saying, Laser Steve's saying, with the with the AP counter. Yeah. Because there's not many of them left. Or at all, actually. Just
well, besides the random spell shield every other kit has, you know, there's like... You have Nocturne, Spell Shield, and then...
I know, but it's not
I mean, and that's what I'm saying. You only have a few people who can just survive it. And then you only have, like, even less people who have kits that are built to counter mages.
It's like, earlier in the day, I saw this Fed Severe. She's one of the best counters. She has a Spell Shield, right? But it's not that good. If we had a Malice on our team, wasn't that Fed. He was doing okay. Then right away, pops three spells out, ults her. She's dead.
Yeah.
He's not counting.
That's because Malice is epic.
Yeah, it's because Malice is
always his counting. Forehead, his
AP ratio is gone.
Well, but his forehead laser is the best skill in the game, unless it's you're game playing.
No, it's not.
He ate an orange and it was K.
And then,
prepare to be boarded!
And then, yeah, and then when you least expect it, prepare to be boarded!
Oh, they need to add that as a taunt. And it needs to be, like, the loudest. So it doesn't matter what your volume setting is, it just blares it in the game. It's like, I think Gangplank's in that bush. Prepare to be boarded! Yep, run!
Oh, don't get an orange. It's K.
It's K.
They just need to... I don't see why they didn't change his sounds with the rework. With the new model.
Everything.
Because he's got so many memes.
Prepare to be boarded! Prepare to be boarded!
No, it could have been like... No, it could have been like, when he eats his orange, instead of laughing, he goes, I ate an orange and it was K.
I ate an orange and it was K.
It'd be perfect. Like,
Well, any final comments on Jax?
He's still going to face mash people.
Yeah, I see that.
I don't care
what they change on him. He's still going to be this. He's still going to be Jax.
I kind of hope they do a kind of a rework with his picture too. You know, one of them older champs like they did the others.
Yeah.
And his Jax Amelius skin. They need to add some better taunts for that thing. You know, it's all the original ones. Jax Amelius.
I'm pretty sure it's Jaximus.
I'm adding N's the word. I'm supposed to do that. Remember, that's my thing.
No.
Jaximinus.
That's Jaximus. You didn't even add an N. You added an L.
So learn letters, man.
You stopped doing what you wanted to do.
Learn words, nub. Learn words.
Okay, so... On that note, it's interesting, really, that we're talking about Jax and how reworking him could make him into a whole new champ. Because Riot's doing a really good job right now of making sure that basically every 2 weeks there's new content, and most of that comes down to the brand new champs. And while there's a lot of complaints that the new champs are OP or stupid or lame or OP or stupid or OP.
Or OP.
I think that it's interesting. It keeps the game fresh. It really keeps... You never know what to do. I mean, really, you play champs that you've played all the time differently because of the new champs. And the most recent one we saw was Ahri. Like, she just dropped 2 days ago, I think. Yeah, 2 days ago, and I already love her.
She's really fun.
She is really fun. I don't know.
I love outskilling champs with her ult.
She's part of this new wave of champs that Riot's been pushing forward with the high mobility. You know, we've seen a lot of champs in the past, but not so much as the ones that they pushed recently that are really, really quick pace, really fast, really outmaneuver other champs. Yeah, dash around the screen and kick you in the face, and then you rage quit. And I really love that about the game. They're trying to push aggressiveness, and the best way to do that is to have champs. They can just run around the field, and Ahri does a great job of that after level 6.
What kind of role do you think she's more of, though? Do you think she's more of an assassin, and she's kind of sustained damage, or...
I haven't played her that much I've played her in a few games, and I've pretty much built her incredibly different each time. I don't like to keep the same role. The first thing that I noticed with her is she synchronizes really, really well with a tier. Remember the first game that I played her, I bought a tier, and by minute 36 of the game, I had it maxed out at 1,000 mana. But she's not mana hungry, so it's not necessary. But if you wanted her to be that real AP nuke, the one you see in Blind Pick, where like 5 Archangels and a Death Cap at the end of the game, and you're doing like 10 billion damage, that's what you're going to want to do. But I think she's more like of a burst DPS, like a assassin mage. I think that's how she's supposed to be played. But I just don't have enough experience playing those types of champs to really try it out. I want to.
I've done about 6 games with her, and these final 2 games, I found a really good build for her. It's kind of a Magic Fan build with some health, you know, with the Haunting Guys and the Magic Fan boots.
So your Shaco build?
Sort of my Shaco build, except I grab more health, like Aurelia's Crystal Scepter, yeah. And I grab, like, Abyssal Scepter. She's kind of a tanky AP, but she has sustained damage, because her cooldown's really insane.
Her cooldowns are insane. If you build cooldown, her ult's, like, 30 seconds, and her true...
not insanely long.
Oh, okay. Are they even insanely short?
She can do some really good sustained damage, and that charm, a 2-second taunt...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. If you can stay in damage and get that off like 3 or 4 times in a team fight, save it for the channels. I remember because I was playing a Nunu, and you're like, rah!
Yeah.
Bust out of his ult.
It's actually got a really high AP ratio for a nuke. It's kind of like Soraka's
Silence.
It not only does it have a CC element to it, it does really good damage. And so, that's what I love to see. I love to see things that will not only screw you up, but make you mad because you got hurt more than you ever thought possible. Because there's nothing worse than trying to parlay a minion and getting silenced by Soraka and taking, like, 1,000 damage at the same time.
She's a very unique champion. I mean, with her Q, it throws a sphere and it stops at the end. It's magic damage through, true damage back. Yeah. I haven't seen anything like that.
One question that I really have about what Riot's doing is, with the exception of Volibear, all of the most recent champions have some form of getting into combat... or getting out of combat ability. They have a lot of high mobility, but that prior to this, you see on a few champions, but they seem to be putting it on a lot more champions now.
Even Volibear has his Q. I mean, it's not high mobility. It doesn't make him a high mobile character, but he still has that mobility aspect, where some champions...
Like Shyvana.
Some champions in the game have absolutely no ability that increase their movement speed or escape.
With Shyvana, you have an increase in speed and an ult that throws you either in or out of whatever you need to get out of.
Another thing I will love.
You have Talon, who can jump in, jump out. You have Riven, who can jump in, jump out. Even with Graves, he also has the little jump forward ability.
I love Graves. And he's so fun.
That's a question that I'm having is, are they trying to push playstyles towards something different?
Oh, yeah.
Because of adding so many movement-based abilities.
Well, Morello and Freak have been talking for the longest time about making the first 20 minutes of the game incredibly more fun. What you see in competitive play and what you see in basically ranked games, too, the first 10, 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how good your team is, you spend in bot lane and top lane farming and trying not to die. And what they want is they want there to be some farm, but also at the same time they want you to take that risk and give up a few CS and try to get that kill. Because in my opinion, denying your enemy 2 CS is better than getting 5 CS for yourself, especially if you kill them in the process. So I think
Teemo does a great job of that.
They really are trying to promote a more aggressive game. But you already see that LoL, from the very beginning, has always been a much quicker, better environment in the MOBA stage, where you have, like, Heroes of New Earth and the old Dota, which are incredibly, incredibly long matches. I've seen a Heroes of New Earth game that was 14 hours long.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's not something it's not even possible with a league game.
Yeah. I mean, even if you don't do anything, minions are going to end it.
Eventually, yeah.
Another thing about the new champions, I can't think of one champion that's come out recently that does not have some kind of AoE damage ability. I think they're trying to promote team play whenever team fights happen with the tanks, that there's actually champions that are squishy, but they do AoE to everyone, not one person focusing down one person. If that person's gone, it's like no chance at all. It's like Vayne. She's sitting there hitting a person. They're dead. But if she's gone, she can't single out someone. So they're adding more AoE so she can do more damage to a wider group.
Yeah.
Because it's not a nuke. Like LeBlanc, she's a nuke. She can take down someone just like that, but it's one single person. And where you see Ahri, her Q, hit everyone in line, everyone back through.
That is true. The way that Ahri plays is actually incredibly similar to LeBlanc. When I say incredibly similar, I mean kind of similar.
It's kind of like LeBlanc and Kassadin put together.
Yeah, and I can see where you'd make the distinction. LeBlanc is an older champion, and her skills are oriented to taking out one person. While her distortion, which is her W, her distortion does a lot of damage in an AoE. It's not that big, and it doesn't have that big of a range. whereas basically every single one of Ahri's abilities, besides her charm, has a sort of AoE of effect,
yeah,
or can hit multiple champs.
From her ult, from her Q, I mean, just most of the champions like Riven. The Tiamat builds you see people doing, those are for more AoE damage.
That is ridiculous.
The Shyvana,
by the way,
I keep doing.
Shyvana, with her dragon form and the fire, you got her E after dragon form, which is three fireballs.
She's the
and
AoE
her W's
master.
Like that. This is, I can't think, like Talon, even with his rake.
The AoE, I think, well, if you think about it, like from a lane perspective, with the AoE skills, you can push harder earlier, and while you might be missing out on a few CS, you can be more aggressive in early game. And that promotes aggressivity early and mid and late game.
But as you can tell with it, they have the ability to be aggressive, but they also have the mobility to get out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with a lot of characters. If you push too hard, get past the river, you're going to get ganked and you have no way to get out. Whereas with a lot of these characters, with you can just
Warwick
get right
shows
back
up,
out.
Yeah. Warwick shows up to gank you and surprises you. And then when it's over, most champs go, I'm going to try to run, but I know that I'm dead. Or they burn their flash. With some of these new champs, you're like, oh, fly away. Or,
well,
you know,
I mean, it's make it where you can't see, dash away.
Or
I mean,
make it to
dragon.
hop up on my staff and make myself
I'm
a target.
Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone can get out of these new champions. There's no more getting killed by the person in the river if you're smart.
Yeah.
That's why I've seen competitive play in ranked games, Graves. He's one of the biggest bans I've seen recently because he has an escape mechanic. He has AoE skills, his ult to
his
buckshot.
And he basically
game
has
damage
and he can,
is ridiculous.
Yeah, and he can turn someone invisible. He's one of them champs that came out was like massively overpowered, like one of them champs that they had a nerf pick down. He was just
well,
insane.
When you can buckshot one person to a fourth health in one shot at level two.
I like dashing and then buckshot whenever I'm right in their face.
I remember
like,
facing
I put my
Graves.
Shotgun in their mouth.
I faced a Graves that uses ult on me. He was level 7. I can't remember who I was. I think it was out of Shackle Bottom. He hit me for 3/4 of my health at level 7. Legitly, straight up. I was full health. 3/4 of it, ult. That's it. That is ridiculous.
And that ult does so much. You were talking about AoE damage.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
That whole champion,
stupid damage.
Just these new champions, AoE. Even their AD ranges now have 8 range. Like, Volley on Ashe, that's one AoE skill per
but
ult.
But Graves is one of those characters that will, if you advance too far and you're squishy, he'll make you pay. I think that's what they were trying to
risk
get in
more.
There.
Yeah.
If you're squishy and you go in knowing that their Graves is there and you make that mistake, he's going to make you pay for it.
And the thing about his passive is I remember playing against Graves in this. My team is like, why is he so tanky? Because it's passive. It's ridiculous in general. Graves.
He's a baddie punisher.
He's one of the people that are like, baddie punisher. That's a good way to put
he's
it.
A baddie punisher.
Yeah.
That's a new role. Write that down.
He's an 80 range melee. He's
baddie
like one
punisher.
Of the people that just sit there and fight 1v1 against your 80 melee.
He's a
like
he's
him.
A better hybrid. He's a better melee range hybrid than Gangplank. Which is by far one of the best melee range hybrids in the game.
But Gangplank got some.
Yeah.
You need orange. It's okay. Then he got the universal ult.
Well, yeah. I
wonder, does Gangplank's orange help him in the blindness?
Yeah, it makes every... I think... I'm not sure. I've never actually...
It removes any CC.
I think it removes all CC.
Any CC.
Yeah.
Oh, not inside, because that's an area of effect. It has to be a debuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Any debuffs, yeah.
So it wouldn't give him visibility for like 2 seconds?
No.
No.
Well, say it did work. It would deactivate the debuff, and then it would reactivate because he's still inside the.
But
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think it would even do that.
Yeah, I don't think it
would.
But
it would be so minute, like the. It would.
That's something we got to try along with the Lee Sin thing.
Okay.
That's something for another episode.
Speaking of Lee Sin, that's a good transition.
Good transition.
Come on, we got to do it.
Well, we can talk about it later.
We'll talk about it in another episode.
We're following a very detailed list right now.
Okay.
Oh, man.
That is, if y'all see this list, guys, it is insane.
It is insanely detailed. I mean, I got Christmas map / skins.
Okay.
New champ select screen. New runes. How detailed is that?
Let's just move on.
We're so unprofessional.
If you were listening, the next thing we're actually going to probably talk about is the new Christmas stuff.
Yay, Christmas!
I have been waiting for this stuff since I started playing League of Legends.
You got it all.
I've been waiting for Christmas.
Playing
League of Legends.
Not just that. I've been waiting for Christmas. The map. When I started playing League of Legends, the first thing I did was looked up the videos, and like 90% of the League of Legends videos are back from when League started, and the Christmas map was out. And so you see this amazingly awesome map, even if the graphics were bad back then, but whatever. You see this amazing awesome map, and you're like, I can't wait for Christmas! And without depressing the without depressing the Halloween map was, you know, I actually enjoy the Christmas map.
One time I waited for Christmas for a whole year. Yeah.
Prepare to be boring!
Oh, man.
About the Christmas map, though, I think that all the whiners about saying that the brightness is too bright and all that stop whining.
It cheers me up.
Right. No, your FPS goes higher. Stop whining. It's awesome.
There's only one legitimate complaint about the Christmas map, and that's Anivia can't be seen on it.
Note to self, I'm going back to playing Anivia.
If you're inside the river as Anivia, you just can't be seen.
What about Nunu?
Oh my God.
Can you see his ice ball?
Well, the screen's not actually that white, and Nunu has color on him. Anivia's all blue, and she's the same color.
What about
as
Ghost Gangplank? Ghost Gangplank.
Dude, Glacial Olaf.
No, he's got different colors.
Yeah, dude.
He's white and blue. That's
fair to be boarded.
The skins are actually pretty epic. I found the assets files inside the folders for the League of Legends stuff a couple of days ago. I mean, a couple of days before the patch. And so I was actually looking at the skins a couple of days before they were even announced. And so I was really excited. The LeBlanc skin is incredibly sexy, if any of you guys haven't seen it yet. I basically started playing LeBlanc so that I could get what good with her and then use the skin. That's the reason I bought LeBlanc. And the Snowmerdinger.
Oh, that one's awesome.
Amazing, amazing
skin. That is a great
skin.
Idea.
I really like Maokai.
Best of Maokai. That one's cool,
too. Oh, no, I don't. I think they could have done a much better job.
He's a Christmas tree.
No. Okay, I love the concept, but last year, whenever they announced the Christmas skins, this one guy in the forums who's an artist, he did these concepts for Christmas skins, and he did actually a festival Maokai, but he was a full Christmas tree, and he had, like, it was incredibly detailed, and he had lights on him, and if you open up the LoL launcher, the Maokai in the LoL launcher behind Snowmerdinger, which is the exact same as his model, Maokai has lights on him. But when you go into his actual model, he's just a plain tree with the decorations on him. And then they didn't really change his seedlings. Like, the only thing about the seedlings that have changed is after they land, they have the box on them. So we got a lot of things on the forums. A lot of people QQing about the low quality of the Maokai skin. But if you're a Maokai player and you like Christmas, and let's be honest, who doesn't like Christmas? You're going to like the skin. I might possibly buy it just because it's limited edition.
I've yet to see Maokai in game yet, though, but who knows? He's talking about the Christmas lights.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
100%.
Yeah, I've watched the... You can go to LoL Skin Viewer, dude. LoL Skin Viewer.
Right,
it's a website, and you can look up the skins, and it shows you. Maybe you can find the artwork, too, and show us the comparison. Yeah, go back. No. That's not it. Go back.
This will be
your website, and because there I can show you the.
I'll find it. We can just move on.
Another new feature that we've seen is the in the champ select stuff.
Oh, hold on, we got the runes. Forgot about the runes.
Well, they added some Christmas runes. They're not any different from the other
Christmas
runes.
You mean hybrid?
Right. No, I'm talking about the Christmas runes.
Oh.
They added some Christmas runes. They're not any different than the other runes that are out.
They're just reduced prices.
Massively reduced, price.
Like, it's insane. Like, buying...
If you were thinking about picking up health...
Armor pen
or magic pen, now would be a really good time to get your quints.
I think
because
it was about 700 IP for about... How was it, like,
they're like half to 70. They're like 50% off, pretty much right now.
Isn't there movement speed on too?
Yeah, they got some movement speed, but they're not coins. They got marks of movement speed, I think. They're pretty cheap and they're pretty good.
I might pick some of those up.
I got me 29 starting armor pen now, thanks to those things.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, Pantheon builds.
I need to get that for talent.
I guess we can actually just talk about the other new runes that are out now too, since we're on the subject.
The destruction runes.
Yeah, they added some pretty sick new runes. The gold ones. I mean, as a support, the gold per 10 is going to be really interesting and see how that really.
Well, they've always had them, didn't they?
No,
the gold. No,
they had the mastery pages.
They had the quints are always up. Mm-hmm.
These are like seals and whatever the blue and red marks.
It's going to be interesting because as a support, supports don't necessarily need armor as much as they need magic resist. They're not necessarily in the middle of taking all the auto attack champs. So the gold will be helpful. I want to see how it's going to help in competitive play and ranked games.
What I'm more interested in is these health AP runes, especially on champs like Vladimir.
Health AP?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's health AP?
I think so.
That's
I
don't remember.
No, there's health, like there's health percentage.
Health, yeah, even health percentage because, well,
what?
That's going to stack with Vladimir's passive. Yeah. Like nobody's business.
The ones you're talking about right now, the endurance runes, we have the seals of endurance is 0.5% health flat.
And there's nine.
It costs 820. Ooh. And then
I'm picking those up for Olaf.
That's 4.5% with 9 seals.
And then you get the quince of endurance, which is 1.5, and so that's another 4.5. So you're looking at 13.5% health.
That's 10% starting. You start off with 700, 10% of that.
That's a whole auto attack from Kate or a magic ability.
Yeah. I mean, how much AP is that for?
I think you get 1 AP per every 1.5 health. So,
that'd be a good starting.
35 health or AP boost right off the bat. But think about it this way. My Vladimir build has somewhere between 4 and 5k health. Do you know how much health that is percentage-wise? That's a good 200-300 more health, which is a good 1 to 200 more AP.
My question about the... Is it from your base health? Or is it going to be from your health in game? From your total health, and it's going to be a percentage of that.
Yeah. Every time you level up.
So basically, you buy a giant's belt. It's a 500?
It's 430.
430 health, however much it is. That's 13% of that, 14% of that. It's a lot. Dude, it's a lot.
Learn math, though.
I'm not good at math. I'm actually really good at math.
Another one of the new runes that Arrow was talking about were the Destruction.
Destruction.
They have marks and coins of destruction, and they're pretty sick. It's basically hybrid penetration.
One armor and
0.57 magic for the marks, and for the coins, you got 2 armor and 1.13 magic pen.
I have to get those for team.
That's going to be ridiculous on hybrid characters.
Imagine
honestly.
Jax with those before this new nerf that's going to be coming up.
You don't know if it's a nerf.
Revamp.
It could be, in fact, a buff.
That would be scary.
I doubt it, but...
Yeah. That's like buffing Trin, which they did.
The most notable other new runes, which are probably the biggest runes, because they completely changed mechanics of the early game, are the quints of Transmutation and Lifesteal. So you have new quints that have lifesteal and spellbound
off the bat.
I'm loving that.
Maximum 6% early game, which gives Morgana level 1, 21% spell vamp.
With
masteries, it could be upwards of 24.
That's
almost 1/4 of how much damage she's doing, she's healing
and
for.
And you think of Aura, the new champ, 35% spell vamp after 9 things, that's added to it.
Another 6, and then
more
another
than that,
4.
Talk about Akali and Mordekaiser.
Well, right. I mean, when you've got Akali already getting spell vamp off of AD, the gunblade builds back.
Yeah.
I mean, you're building so much spell vamp that was being taken away from the gunblade, but is now being added back through this.
Yeah, since the nerf of it, I've been more damage oriented, so I use like Lich Bane and TF, Trinity Force. So whenever I'm doing Akali now, you know, stacking.
I mean, it helps her go back to playing more hybrid instead of AD burst. I mean, AP burst
or AD burst.
Well, the way that I looked at it, the way I looked at it is, they did a really good job with the gunblade nerf, because if you compare
was a price issue.
General
more than it was an OP of the item.
General stat comparison, you were getting so much for your money. It was what 3,000 flat.
Yeah, it was
3,000 gold,
for
and
really,
you got 75 AD, 65. Ability power
and stacking spell
vamp, lifesteal, and the amazing passive active ability.
Insane.
Yeah,
300 damage flat, true 300
magic
true
damage
magic.
Magic damage. You can spell vamp off it.
300 magic damage, and then it's
like
a permaslow.
Like that slow is ridiculous.
And then you just like that weapon was amazingly powerful, and so I think the nerf was necessary. I don't like that they made the spell vamp unique. Though.
I still see people stacking them though because the damage is good.
Well, the rest of the stats are still good, even if you're not getting that. The thing that I'm seeing with these quints and marks is that you're going to make it so that stacking them is even more viable because you're getting spell vamp from that.
You know, the way that I look at it is it promotes the early aggressiveness in lane. If you have lifesteal early game, instead of getting a Doran's Blade, get something higher damage and then push or try to kill the enemy champ, because even if you fail and you get low, you can just lifesteal back up. And that's gonna promote pushing early game.
Well, and that's one of the problems with Akali after the nerf is that to Gunblade is that since she can't get that earlier, her spell vamp takes a hit, which means now she also she until level 6 for sure she has to play more defensively. But by building in spell vamp to that, she can start playing more aggressive earlier. Even though there'll still be the risk, she can at least heal out of damage. Yeah.
That's one thing I love what Rod's doing. It's nerfing, but it's not nerfing where it's going to hurt the skill. The skill people go still going to be good with the champion, but the baddies are getting separated easily. Like the new trend.
Yeah, love that they're separating baddies from goodies.
Because
very efficiently.
Like with the nerf of them Akali players, you see less Akali players because they just used to stack Gunblade. It wasn't really skill oriented. It's like, I got so much damage spell, man. I'm going to go in QWR and just roll my skill. It's dead. Yeah,
but now, face roll. I mean, good Akali players are going to be good. with the trend nerf, the way that I see it, like the trend nerf, it was necessary because too many people could pick Trin up and go, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm winning. And
I right click, you win.
Me and Rush today witnessed this. We're in a ranked game, and Trin thought he was all big and bad, but he didn't know what he was doing. He sucked with Trin. He was like, why am I not healing so much? He like went in, dived, and when he was running away, he didn't die, you know. Guess what? Turn shot. He queued. Oh, it didn't work. Dead.
Yeah.
Heal. Heal for Trin, not Ghost and Cleanse. It sucks.
Yeah. Heal.
Who needs Ghost? You can spin.
Yeah, when his Q is down, you know, it gives much, much less HP back. But, you know, the good Trin players were always getting away with 10 HP. It didn't matter if their Q healed for 200 or 6.
It wasn't lucky.
If their Q healed for 6, they still got away with 10 HP.
The problem they were having was not the people that were getting away. It was the fact that the baddies were going in, ulting, staying in at 10 HP, getting full rage, hitting Q, and going back to full health. Yeah. And then leaving.
This comes from whenever I was about 6 months into me playing. It was around June. I can't remember the exact time, but they nerfed Trin's ult, his ultimate. It took down the time of his ult. So you see less people diving. So when they dive away and they use their Q, they use it too late and they get killed by the turret. So now, since then, you see people leaving, diving earlier, and they take the shot, then Q after their endless rage is over. But it still
changes the style of Trin.
Yeah, it nerfs it, but it only separates the baddies from the goodies. You know, the good ones are still going
to
be good.
It goes back to they're wanting you to take more risks, but they want it to be more dangerous for it to actually be a risk.
Yeah.
Good Trin players will take the risk of going in and will get out at the right times. The problem that was before was that people were just staying in and killing everyone.
Yeah, they didn't have to. They didn't have to risk reward. They didn't have to assess, you know, I can get 2 kills, but I'm probably going to die. They were just like, if I dive now, I'm going to get 3 kills, and that's just it. And I'll probably get away.
Support Trin. It works. That W is insane.
And battle Leona.
Going in and diving 3 champions for your team and taking all the turn shots, you can get 4 kills, sometimes 3, 2, maybe only 1, but you only lose 1 person. That's a worthy trade. Then you get the turret.
Yeah, but a good support doesn't die.
Yeah. Support Trin. Is it your true support? It's God. That's this guy.
So any comments about the Christmas stuff? We kind of got off base there. But
yeah, I think that they need to
keep the Christmas map around forever.
Sounds like a very good idea.
Yeah. Ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
You see, we have 4 seasons for a reason, guys. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you only need the 1.
No.
Yeah, I mean, cuddle season?
4 seasons are...
I mean...
Well, just to add to this, it doesn't have to do with Christmas, but I wish I'd add more map
presents?
Variety in general. Like, autumn.
Another new map.
No, for like summer, like a spring map, you know?
trench flowery, coats. It's colorful, summer map, you know, it's
well,
really
no,
green.
I would actually like it if they made it random with multiple types of maps, even to where it's weather effects. You come into a game where it's foggy and rain.
We're
Texas. I never know what it is.
I was actually, I was reading a blog recently, and one guy was, he actually has the FSB files. He has an FSB modifier. And so he can actually open up his League client and access a private server and look at the files and test them out. And there is a option inside the little client to activate Snowfall. And there are other weather effects in there. They just have not activated them server side. It's impossible to experience because they don't have it active on the servers.
Well, they need to, because that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but there's no way to know what it's going to look like, how it would affect gameplay.
Well, the computer can handle it.
Well, and since everything's working through, isn't it Adobe Air that everything is working through?
The air
because of that, it may have something to do with stability now.
I mean, if you're... It just depends on how powerful the weather effects are.
Yeah, because that would really hurt some people's FPS latency.
Well, you can always just disable it from your client, which is the difference. I don't know what... I mean, it might be a feature they try to activate later.
I really think they should add it.
I mean, it's already in the game. It just needs
to
be
activated.
It's there,
but they need to actually activate it. So.
Yeah. Okay, so another interesting feature that they never talked about it. They didn't tell us it was coming out. I just stumbled upon it and was astonished. I noticed when I was looking at Ari, waiting for her to come out in the
shop.
It's if you go to your if you go into your character profile and open up your champions and then click on a champion, it's going to take you to a new champion screen, which is the same for the if you're checking out a champion in the store, where you can actually it's bigger than the other previews to be, and so you can actually look at the skins in more detail. It has a more detailed assessment of her of basically all the champs' roles and their abilities and how good they are. And then, actually, there's another tab, or several tabs. If you open up her abilities tab, or anybody's abilities tab, you can actually view videos of the ability being used, which is really awesome. It also has a little explanation, and then you can also do that for the lore and the tips. It shows recommended builds straight from the champion select, which is really cool. And the other cool feature that I noticed is, say, you click on a champ that you don't own from your champion select screen, you can purchase them there outright from your profile. You don't even have to go to the
store.
You can also click on skins that you don't own for champions that you already do own and purchase skins from the store. See, right now I don't have Frosted Ezreal. It shows I can unlock it, which is really cool. It's a really nice feature. Ooh! They disabled Pulse Fire... Ezreal, if you guys don't know, you should look up how to activate or how to look through the assets files in your LoL client to check out stuff that hasn't been released yet. I talked about it earlier with the Ahri stuff and Christmas stuff. There's a Ezreal skin that keeps popping in and out of the client. I guess they're trying to hide it, but they're not hiding it very well. I'm guessing it's going to be a legendary Ezreal skin. It's called Pulse Fire Ez. Got a massive cannon on his hand and a giant
Mega Man
battery pack.
Very similar to Mega Man.
People have been really pushing for a Mega Man Ezreal skin, and it looks like they're coming out with one. So it's really cool. And
Darth Vader, Cassidy, come on.
Darth Vader, Cassidy.
We calling for it yet?
Yeah, let's call it. But it's really cool. So I really like what they're doing with the client. They're always keeping it fresh, always keeping it updated. Even just the client itself. The launcher, not even in-game stuff, just the game is always changing. It's new, the overlays and the stuff. Yeah, they keep it easy.
It's really
use.
Fun. It's keeping it, it's nice eye candy also for good gameplay.
I guess since we're talking about skins, it'd be a really cool, interesting time to move over into a small segment we're going to probably be having in all of our shows. You know, everyone has those times where they're playing a game, and you know, I really wish this champ that I love had this awesome skin so that I could run around and be better than everyone else. And sometimes those skins are serious, like Darth Vader, Kassadin. I really want to see that, because that would be epic. But other times it's more funny, like Mary Poppins Pantheon. I really want to see Pantheon
carry around
a purse and an umbrella and slap people with it. And instead of having little shields, she has little diamonds that, you know, float around her. And then when she falls down from the sky with her ult, it's just an umbrella. And
I thought of one for myself. I'm a big Teemo player, and
Teemo already has too many skins. That one's automatically invalid.
Teemo, Oompa Loompa Teemo would be hysterical. I would love that skin.
You haven't told us about this one.
I would completely keep playing this game no matter what if I had that skin.
No, imagine if they made a new animation for every champ. He puts down chocolate instead of getting blown up.
When it, like, covers them in chocolate?
No. They stop and eat the chocolate.
But it ain't a stun. It's like a slow.
Yeah.
Well, so they curve fat. They, like, make a fat for a second. Yeah, like, they kind of, like, add a surge to them. Oh,
yeah,
no.
It's like, nom, fat. Mouth covered in chocolate.
That'd be great. I had one for Annie, but Annie already has a lot of skins. And this one might seem a little weird because Annie's in a swimsuit, but whatever. Just remind you. I had this idea. Instead of Annie being in a dress, she's in this, like, inflatable tube. And it's a little rubber ducky, and her tippers is a giant rubber ducky floaty, and she blows bubbles and stuff, like it's like she's playing in a kiddie pool,
kind of like her little cone damage, like bubbles blowing.
Yeah,
no, it'd be splashing.
But no, that's just lame.
Yeah, oh.
She's splashing a wave of water.
No, that's just lame.
That's what kids do in kiddie pools. They splash things.
Oh, and. We kind of called this one. We didn't really call it exactly, but we kind of came close. Like, months and months before the reversible Annie skin came out, we were discussing this the skin idea, and we were like, why don't they have a reverse Nunu skin? Instead of a Yeti carrying a tiny child, how about a tiny child carrying around a Yeti? Because that would be awesome.
That'd be amazing.
And then the child would eat things.
She would say, num, num, num. He would say
num 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 num.
I'm hanging around Arrow too much. I'm failing at words.
One of our favorite discussions. One of the things that we discuss most about the game really is the two major styles of play. Right now, we're seeing a lot of champs, or a lot of the older champs, had some sort of sustainability, like with Garen's passive and Xin Zhao's passive, and a lot of characters' abilities that regain them health or mana over time.
Even Annie with her E, you know, yeah. Extra shield.
You have that passivity, and it, you know, the sustainability in lane and the health. You with the lifesteal and spell vamp, you have some sort of ability to survive, and then you have a kind of build and a game that builds off of that where. Your characters are all really, really strong in the health department, but kind of lack in the damage.
Yeah, something that, especially within a lot of competitive play that I've seen and in some of the ranked games I've played, is tanks are becoming more and more less viable in place of a bruiser character who may not have the defense of a tank, but can still do ridiculous amounts of damage.
The only time you ever see a tank either is their jungle. They're using their CC to their advantage. Like, you see a Moomoo, you see Rammus, Jarvan, you see Maokai, more recently, Nunu. You see people that are tankier that can sit there and do jungle, but they come out and they have the CC and they have, like, Nunu can speed himself up and Iceball. You slow you down for the bruiser to catch up.
And the idea of that is that they're not there to take the damage or to actually jump in and get the kill like the typical jungler would. This is someone that just holds them still so that the people that are in the lane actually get the kills.
Can beat the crap out of them.
Support jungle.
And then you have this kind of gameplay that Riot's pushing for right now, especially with the nerf to minion damage, the new champs they've been coming out with. The minion is probably the most notable version of this. You know, you have the Dominion entire mode. You have the new items that are coming out. A lot of you might not know. Ionic Spark is coming to Summoner's Rift.
And Twisted Tree Line.
So it's just they want to see really aggressive gameplay from level one. You got these characters that are really mobile, also do tons of damage, can get in, can get out, have CC. They're just as good as other characters, only they do tons more damage and are incredibly squishy. And
I like it.
Do you think that we'll ever move in our metagame towards, like, four assassins and a tank. Do you think that that's even possible?
Well, you had to think. We did that.
Yeah.
How many was it? We had five or four assassins?
We had four assassins and Shins.
And Singed. Yeah. We, oh my god, that game.
We fed Sion mid lane. Before 3 minutes, he had four kills.
We destroyed.
It wasn't intentional. People. It wasn't intentional. We were doing that. We were doing, like, I think it was a quad or triple.
Yeah, quad mid.
Quad mid. And we were trying to push lane really hard, and we didn't know we got hit by a turret. Then we got him killed, and then Teemo stood there and took a lot of shots. I don't know why Teemo stood there. He had his W first. He had your W first. What is that? And he got four kills, and basically...
We thought the game was over.
We're over. So
we knew for a fact, you know, Sion's the worst champ you want
to
feed.
And it was 80 Sion to top it off.
Yeah. And
that's when I decided to build my epic team.
And get your Q.
But it was just one of those things where we're like, we went into a game and we were four assassins. We knew we were going to lose. And then come 30-minute mark, for some reason,
we shouldn't have won that game.
Kill anybody.
Easily. No,
kill anybody.
Fed Twitch.
Yeah,
Fed you see Twitch, Twitch and Shaq go in. Twitch auto attacks couple times. Shaq comes in KSs. No,
yeah.
Yes.
It's just like,
and was, I chased down three people. They all went at me 1v1. Three people.
What? And it's just, I don't understand what he's saying. But anyways,
yeah. Prepare to be boring. Okay.
No, it's like, according to the current metagame, and basically anybody, if you would ask them if that's possible, they tell you straight up, no, four assassins and a tank, you're going
to
lose 10 times out of 10.
It comes back to another troll game we've done. We've done five tanks. See, because if you can do a lot of damage, you can win. If you can take no damage, you can win. Like, full assassins for full versus all tanks. Who would you think would win? All assassins, all tanks. A lot of damage, a lot of
sustain. Sustain.
But they...
No, the defense, basically, because even if they don't do a ton of damage, they can whittle you down.
And the whole mindset of the assassin build is that they're not going to be five tanks.
Yeah.
Going into that game, we know there's probably at least three people on their team. We can jump, kill them, and leave.
Yeah.
The problem with a whole assassin versus a whole tank is that the tank's going to win. Assassins can't burst down each person that fast.
Like, because even the best players get unfocused in team fights, and you would have to have the most amazing coordination to go into a team fight and go, okay, Jarvan first, okay, now Garen, okay, now this person, and then legitimately burst them down while not dying yourself. And that's the kind of thing most of the assassins as well, their cooldowns are too low to actually sustain during a team fight.
That comes to account, I want to see if competitive play, ranked games, or just any games in general, would it change up to more of a three assassin, tank, and kind of a support node with one of the assassins bottom? Because if you think about it, there's always three champs that are squishy, and you can take them out. Then there's just them two people that are surviving. Like we did in that game, we had four assassins and a tank. We were able to win that game because we were able to nuke down the players, and the tanks were left, and we just steadily chopped at them. I wonder if the gameplay is going to change to something more like that, because if it's like the support, Bruiser, AD range, jungler, and AP mid, you're going to see the assassin team beating that.
Well, that's only if they don't play correctly on the other team. The reason that in competitive play that you see that combo almost always is because it's dependable, and they're not going to play as aggressive because they know what they're doing. It is go for the CSs, don't overextend. Wait for them to slip up. And the thing with the assassin is that you're always looking for the slip ups. And if the other team is playing more defensively...
If the other team doesn't give you an in, then you're not going
to
be able to
do it.
This
is exactly what Rod's trying to promote. They're trying to get more aggressive.
Yeah, that's my real question is, do you think that the metagame, competitive play, that kind of thing, is going to switch over to a less stagnant farm until you have enough money for a BF sort and then get kills? To a really, really aggressive early game.
I hope so, because right now it's not opening up much room. You're going to see the best teams be the best teams because they've played so long together.
Well, it depends because some of the tournaments, if you watch, some of the tournaments, they have level one ganks. And that sets the stage for the entire game.
That's awesome.
And then,
those are really fun.
It's like watching those games are really, really fun. I would go into some of the ideas I've had about our own pre-ganks. So we've got to test them out first. We can't give them away. But, watching ranked competitive games, not ranked games, competitive games, you see that they do all these fancy stuff level one. And in ranked games, you don't see it so much. But I want to see competitive game, instead of being blue steals and stuff like that, be more aggressive throughout the whole game. Instead of the blue steal, gank and jungle, instead, make it where in the jungle, the jungler's ganking. You see AP mid leaving more. You see jungler covering mid, AP going mid. You know, just switching around more. More aggressive gameplay, more lively gameplay. Because
aggressive laning.
Just when you watch competitive play sometimes, it's the same thing. It's boring. Each game is pretty much the same. Every now and then you see cool team fights. You see some cool things happen in the jungle. But it's pretty much the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, I mean, the reason that is because in, like, I think there's that difference in game style because of the differences in the queues. You have blind pick, and then you have draft pick, and then you have ranked draft pick. In blind pick, you don't see the competitive play kind of builds. If you're a tank, you have armor and magic resist. If you're an AD, you have three Phantom Dancers, two Bloodthirsters, and an Infinity Edge. Well, if you're AP, you have five Archangels and a Death Cap.
Well, and that's a big difference between competitive and doing blind pick. With blind pick, you could go up against a whole assassin team and not know that it's coming.
Yeah.
Whereas with the ranked draft pick, you're going to be counterpicking. You see them picking a lot of assassins, you go meaty and you just don't let them kill you.
Yeah.
It all comes back to the philosophy of if you can out sustain them, live longer, you're always going to win. If
you, I mean, the difference is a meaty team can dive and an assassin team can't.
Yeah, the assassin
especially
team.
If I'm Garen and you're Talon and Twitch, you're not going to be coming out underneath my turret all day.
You see, with the assassin team, they build off of picking off every person in a lane and then just blowing down a turret mm-hmm. and leaving.
Yeah, well, let's not subject high mobility to just assassins.
Yeah.
Because high mobility could be a meaty person going into your turret, not taking any damage, first of all, and then getting out before any more damage progresses.
Like Lee Sin.
And still killing you. So let's talk about how high mobility gameplay can change the course of an already done game.
Like the metagame.
You're
talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, personally, I love to play the meaty character. The meaty, but also really high mobile characters. Like there's nothing more fun than watching somebody getting like a mile away from me and then using two abilities and being right next to them and then like slap them in the face and they die. Like, if I can safeguard to a minion and then kick one of your minions and then fly over to you, slow you, kick you in the face and kill you, and all you can do is wobble away because you don't have any abilities that increase your movement speed, that's the greatest feeling ever. Kicking your butt because I'm faster than you.
Like a colleague. You can't run away from a colleague.
I mean, you can, but you gotta be really good.
You gotta be, like, not just good, you gotta get out of her ult range instantly like that. As soon as she gets in your range, you gotta be out of it like that.
Instantly.
Because then high mobility
champions. I'm awesome with Flash.
High mobility champions, they are changing the game because they're making you summoner spells, they're making you scared, they're making where if you're not a high mobility champion, you're scared. Like, Akali's always banned. I'm seeing a lot of talent bans in ranked games. You see all these people that can blink to people, all these people that can just do all this crazy damage.
Well, when it comes down to this whole playstyle and a lot of these characters being scary, so many people never learned to counter the high mobility characters. That's why Akali gets banned. That's why no one likes to go against Kassadin, is because so many people never learned to counter that. It's easy to counter someone that has to get it within range of you to do stuff to you. If someone can jump in and jump out, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it varies from person to person. The thing for me, being someone who plays Akali a lot, I'm hoping this actually opens it up to being able to play more high mobility characters.
Having a challenge.
And having, actually, even if other characters aren't being banned and being able to pick up Akali more often, actually having other options for high mobility.
Yeah.
Because that was the problem for me, was I like playing this style.
But you can't.
I can't. I'm
banned every game. Yeah, I mean,
with me, high mobility, I just, every time I see a high mobility champ, I just, as soon as they poof in, I try and do as much damage as possible, as quick as possible. That's my whole strategy against quick mobility. And get away from them. Into a turret.
Yeah, but
that's really the only thing I can think of to do.
So, might need to move on from here on to probably the last thing that we need to do.
Okay.
Because of time reasons.
All right, well, we're just going to put this out here about the the Victor thing.
Oh yeah, guys, if you haven't heard, go Goog, use the Goog. Google.com is your best friend.
Trendsetter. I started saying Goog.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Movie, dude.
You chosh. Where
is it from?
I don't remember the movie, but it was in a movie.
No.
Yeah, yes, it was.
It's a crap, Jew. Let's keep
going. Anyway.
Let's just move on.
Use the Goog. Search Victor.
Oh, never mind.
It's epic. Cook. Yeah, it's got epic unreleased stuff about a new champ that's going to be in the game. His files are in the LoL client, so he is actually a Riot design champ, so... looking forward to him in the future.
And if anyone knows anything about Dark Heresy, you'll get a good kick out of this new character.
Yeah, he's basically a tech priest for anybody that knows what that is. But other than that, I think that we're good. So thanks for joining us. I'm Rainbow.
I'm Arrow.
I'm Laser Steve.
I'm Ubari.
I'm Hadoshek.
This is For the Walls.
The dawn has arrived.
Nothing can hold me back.
Let me guide you on my wings. Smart choice.
Fired up and ready to serve.
I'm on the case. Beautiful.
You're busy, master.
Do you feel a chill?
What is broken can be reforged.
Live and die by the blade.
Let the storm follow in my wake. Leave nothing behind.
Let's get in the fight.
Here we go.
Time for peace.
We'll kill your enemies. That will be fun.
To the arena.
The balance of power must be preserved.
As I live, all will die.
Fortune doesn't favor fools. Violence solves everything.
We'll bring them pain.
They will fear the wild.
This will be a slaughter.
The rivers will run red.
Into the fray.
An enlightened decision.
By my will, this shall be finished.
To the fields of justice.
The cycle of life and death continues.